Okay, so we're up to towards the beginning of Perek Vav. Let us start from Pasuk Asei Zos Efo Bini, Pasuk Gimel. We already did the Pasuk Gimel, and maybe we did, but let us read. We just read the first two Pasuk, Pasuk Al, Pasuk Beis, and Perek Vav. And it's Perek Vav Mishlei Bini Im Arafta Lirei Echa Tokata Lazor Kapecha. Shlomo is speaking similarly to his son David, or to Klal Yisrael in general. That if you have
Shlomo didn't speak to his son David.
I'm sorry, I always say that. Shlomo is speaking to his son Rechavim. And the reason why I get confused that is because many of the Midrashim record that these psukim here are things that his father David said to Shlomo. So Shlomo is speaking. Shlomo is... Good morning. Frank. Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. Good to see you.
Thank you very much.
Shlomo is speaking, but Shlomo is recording. There's a Rashi, one of the Prokhim said this, that Shlomo is speaking. He's telling us things that his father told him. So he's basically serving as the mouthpiece for his father, David. In if you have become a co-signer, or you have extended your hand to a stranger. Okay, we discussed before Yom Tov many Perushim what this means, some deeper interpretation of what this means, but on a very simple level, it's just poetic repetition. It's telling us that if you have accepted upon yourself a financial obligation, good morning, you have accepted upon yourself to serve as a co-signer. And we discussed al derech pshat, there are two types of co-signers. There's a regular, an orev stam, an orev kabel. An orev stam is where the lender does not have a right, does not have the power to approach the co-signer until the borrower defaults on the loan. There is a seder. The lender first goes to the one who borrowed the money. In the event that the one does not pay him, so you give him an opportunity, you give him a period of time. And you give him a period of time until to pay. If everything fails, then you approach the co-signer and he has to be true to his word. Then there's something called an Arif Kablon, where the co-signer accepts upon himself to pay first. The lender has the right to approach the co-signer first. If it's more convenient for the lender to approach the co-signer before the borrower, the lender has that right. And of course, the co-signer will then have to go get reimbursed from the borrower. So we learned, when this is called reviewing, we learned that the Gross says this, and other commentators say the same exact thing, and that's why there is repetition in this pasuk. The first part of the pasuk says, Imarafta Lireyecha. That refers to an Arev Stam. And then there is Takat Lazor Kapech, or you have gone the extra step and you have accepted upon yourself to be an Arev Kablan, where the lender can collect from you first. And then, by doing so, the Pasuk is Derech Pshat and Pasuk Beis says, Nekashta V'imre, now before we go to Pasuk Beis, it's self-understood from the context of this parak that the co-signer does not have the money to pay. The co-signer is now in a situation where the borrower has defaulted on the loan, and the next one in line is the co-signer, and he does not have one penny to pay. So he is in a lot of trouble. He is in trouble, and that's one situation. The situation B, Pasuk Beis, Mekashta v'imrei ficha. You have insulted your friend. You have said words. You have said things which have caused you to stumble. Or nilkadata b'imrei ficha. Okay, they're just simply, I don't really have any deeper interpretation, just simple poetic repetition where a person has done things which has, he put his foot in his mouth.
To say mildly.
But so he insulted, he said nasty things to people, and now he is in trouble. People do not like him, they distance themselves from him. So what should this person do? So here Pasuk Gimel is the catch-all solution to all of your problems. The catch-all solution is Asei Zos Efo Bini. Efo is a very hard word to translate. In the Mitzudos Sion, he says Kemo Ata. It means now. Okay, now I'm telling you what to do. You've come. If always means, has a connotation, you should not have been in this situation to begin with. But after the fact, where you find yourself here, this is going to be the game plan. It's not an ideal thing to do, but in this particular situation, that's what you have to do to spear yourself. Asay zos efon. Now, we'll read these words backwards. Now, asay zos, do this, dini, vihi notzel, and by doing so, you will be able to remove yourself from this difficult situation. Kivosa, he repeats, kivosa b'chaf reyecha, because you have come into the hand of your friend, meaning that you are guilty. Kafrek lecha here is an expression, which means that you are guilty, and you have to extradite yourself from this situation. And the solution is lech go, hisra pace. Hisra pace here is a difficult word. It means let yourself be trampled upon. Hisra pace comes from the word askupa. Askupa, there's the sof and the resh. Drisa uremisa, which means to trample upon. The threshold of a doorway is something which people step on. Allow yourself to be stepped upon. In other words, humble yourself to the extreme before the person that has a complaint against you. Furthermore, urahav re'echa. Rahav means strengthen or magnify your friends. How is that going to help you? If Reuven hates you, how by now acquiring Levi, Shimon, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Binyamin, how is that going to help you? If you'll have friends, they will do your bidding. They will then approach Shimon and say, you know, Reuven, they will say, let's say we have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven did something bad against Shimon. So the advice the Pasuk is telling Reuven, go get yourself Levi and Yehuda. They should become your new friends. When they will be your new friends, they, Levi and Yehuda, will then go and approach Shimon and advocate on your behalf to Shimon that you're not such a bad person. So Rahab means to strengthen friends, and the friends will go and will advocate on your behalf. Let's take a look at the Mitzudos in the Rashi Pasuk Gimel in the Mitzudos. Asay zos efo b'ni, rotza loymar. What does this mean to say ata? Ata is the word efo now. Asay zos b'ni, do the following. V'notzel miyad hamalve. And by doing so, you will save yourself from the lender. The lender has a complaint against you that you have not paid back. You have not been true to your word. Kibosa b'yado, because you have guilty v'nischayavta lo, and you are guilty. Now, Rabbi Meir, you asked this question. I think this answers the question that you asked before Yom Tov. Why over here are we focusing on the cosigner? Why don't we focus on the borrower? The borrower borrowed $1,000. He's the bad guy here in the pasuk. Why are we focusing on the cosigner? The answer is because the theme of this perek is causing harm with your words. A cosigner has not taken one penny. The borrower has taken money. He's a ganav. He borrowed $1,000 and has not repaid that money. That is a separate issue. That is in a category by itself. That's in a league by itself. But what about the cosigner? The cosigner, I'm a nice guy. I just signed on the dotted line.
Good deed goes unpunished.
No, it's not that.
It's more than that. It's not a good deed. Over here, it's just words. The cosigner is just words. The second part of the pasuk we fully understand. Those you have stumbled with the words of your mouth. Similarly, you can translate this to me. Okay, but the point is, but he did not have anything to benefit from serving as a cosigner. It was just a pledge. He opened up his mouth and said, don't worry, trust my friend, he will pay you back. The friend did not pay back. We're not dealing with him. He is a ganav, he's in trouble, he's a separate issue. But the cosigner says, well, now I have to pay back. I don't have any money. Okay, so I'm also broke, but I'm not the ganav, I'm not the one who borrowed the money, I just pledged. I just used my power of speech to assist someone else. It's no different than speaking Lashon Hara. You speak harm about someone else, you cause them to suffer. So for all of those individuals who have caused other people harm with their dibur, we're now giving you advice what to do. The advice is humble yourself and increase your friends, add new friends to your group, have more likes on Facebook, and they will then go and beseech your enemy and tell them that you're not such a bad person.
The cosigner who's vouching for
the borrower.
Yes. Is he as bad as the borrower?
No, it's not as bad, because the borrower actually took the money. The borrower took in his hands $1,000. And the chinami, that's why he's guilty. But it's a different form of guilt. It's a guilt that was committed with the koyach hadibur. The borrower committed a crime with his hands. He took money. Of course, there's trust and there's all of that. But he actually took $1,000 and he's guilty. He can be arrested. He can be prosecuted for taking... Well,
the original borrower took the money. He said, I'll pay you in Yirtzeh Hashem.
Im Yirtz Hashem. I'm Hashem. I am God. I am Hashem. Ani Hashem.
Obviously, Hashem didn't want me to pay you back because he didn't give you the money.
Okay. So the Orev has not done anything. What has he done? He just has done now there with his words. Don't worry, trust me. Don't worry, I'll take care of it. And that all fits into the theme of Nekash, Mereficha, Nelkatib, Mereficha, and now we have to go and we have to make amends. And that's what the Mesudah says. Okay, next words of the Mesudah, Lech Hisra, Hisra Pes. What does the word Hisra, Hisra Pes? Hoyolo, Lemirmas Hareg, Heyelo, Lemirmas Haregel. Be to your enemy a stepping, a threshold, something upon which you step on. Rotzulaymar, Hachna Atzmcha Lefanov, humble yourself before your enemy.
Israel
Pes
is like
a merpeset. A merpeset is a porch. So then you step on, you walk on, you step on. Rehav Re'echa, what's the word Rehav? Rehav is another hard word to translate. Hachazek Fahamshel Re'echa, strengthen and Hamshel means authority, which I'm not exactly sure how we speak. Bring upon yourself multiple friends. Make your friends superior to you. Hamshel al hachazek v'hamshel re'acha al atzmcha. So maybe here, when the Mitzvah seems to say is that make that the person who was in the past your enemy, now show him that you are my best friend. Show him that you are my superior. Give him honor. Make him into a moshel over you, and that will soften him up. He will no longer have a complaint against you. Rashi says, Rashi pasuk gimel, asay zos efo b'nidi natzel l'chol uvasa b'kafri yecha. Now Rashi here goes along the route of the Medrash, and Rashi says that we're discussing over here the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael has pledged their lives to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Matan Torah by saying Nase v'nishma. See, that's why Klal Yisrael, what did we by Matan Torah? We didn't take anything. We took the Torah, but before we took the Torah, we pledged Kol Asher Diber Hashem Nase v'nishma. Now we are guilty. You have made a pledge to your friend at Sinai. The kibalta elukusoy olecha. So the pledge here is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power, His godliness upon us. Therefore, lech hisrapes hachna lefanav ki askupa hanir peses v'nidreses. Make yourself humble like a mirpeset, like you mentioned. Rashi.
We're reading a different
Rashi.
We got a different Rashi.
Okay, let me take a look. Let me go to the videotape. Let's take a look what we got over here.
Wrong videotape.
Okay, I'm reading Rashi. I have no doubt about this edition. What I read was Rashi. Let's take a look. Okay, Pasuk Gimel. Okay. Lech Hateloi Pasyat. Okay, you're right. It's a whole different Rashi here. I don't know what happened. Maybe let me take a look. Oh yes, there are two. What I read was a later Rashi. See, Rashi repeats himself, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, Rashi, okay, let me go up to the top. You're right. Rashi repeats himself. Okay, there's a series. Okay, Rashi will go first, he says Pshat, then he goes on the Medrash. So Rashi will do both. Let's go back. Okay. Rashi Pasuk Gimel Lech Shapes Hateloi Pasyat. Okay, release. So according to Rashi, Rashi here says, not doesn't mean to humble itself, it simply means it's a nutrikin, hater. The first three letters is hater, which means to release, to open up. And the second, the last two letters of this word is pas. Pas means the palm of the hand. If you pledge to pay someone money, Open up your hand and release the money. Hater lo pasyad l'shalim lo mimono. Or havriyecha vim ein lo mamon imcha. Let's say you don't have money now at this moment in time. So don't leave. There should not be bad feeling between these two parties. At least ella vim ein lo mamon imcha ella shenai kashla bim reficha l'daber lo kashos. I'm sorry, the different situation, different sin. You have not done navera by taking money, but instead you have stumbled by saying, by insulting your friend, l'dabe l'koshos harbe olavreim l'vakesh mimenu sheyim cholach. You shall increase friends. You shall add to your group more friends, and they will serve as advocates on your behalf to the person to whom you have insulted. Again, it appears to be not like the mitzudas. The mitzudas seems to say that your enemy is who we're calling your friend. Re'echa is your friend, meaning the person in the past who was your enemy, elevate him. Rahav, make him your superior. And by making him your superior, you will transform him from what used to be an enemy into a friend. Again, that's not Rashi. Rashi says, you shall increase to your group multiple friends, and they will serve as your advocate. Now Rashi goes on to the Medrash, Dover Acher, B'ni imirav to l'reyacha, acha shenaseis oriv l'akadosh baruch hu. Now that you become a guarantor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shehu Re'echa, Hashem is your friend. That's who we're referring to. T'kidl Siv Zedoidi V'Zereyin Shir Hashirim, Hashem is my beloved, He is my friend. V'kibalto Lecha B'Sinai, and you accepted the Torah in Sinai, U'V'Arvus Moyov B'Olav Shua, and you accepted also in Arvus of twice. There was a bris and Sinai and Arvus Moyov with Moshe Rabbeinu, with a curse and a Shvua L'Shmar Mitzvaysov. And now that you have sinned, you have stumbled, you have worshipped the Zor, so what should you do? Tokato lazor kapecha shetoshuv v'sosur midrachov. You have extended to a stranger your hand. Who is the stranger? According to the Parish of Rashi, Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is an El Zar, a foreign god. The tidbak be'apikursin l'leches b'darcheim. You have backslided and turned away from Hashem's ways, and you have cleaved to apikursis, to follow in the ways of the Tsar. Noikashta nepasik beis, he's next Rashi, the kashim apicha, shetokato kaf lahidab lehadaber im hazam. It's just explaining that idea, that you have extended your hand, you have connected your hand to speak with strangers. I guess this basically means to worship idols, apikursis. Asei zo sefo b'livi, notzel hoyol bosa b'kaf riecha b'sinai. There's a different approach. Since you have pledged to HaKadosh Baruch Hu your allegiance in Sinai v'kibalta elukus olecha leches shapes, here Rashi says does not mean hater pas, but here means humility, like what the mitzvah says, hachna lefonov kaskupa hanir peses v'nidreses urahav riecha harbe reim sheispalu olecha lefonov. Increase multiple friends, they should be mispalu for you v'chenidrash b'medrash tehillim. So here, according to this medrash, it doesn't mean you shall increase friends and they shall go to your enemy and appease him, but rather you shall go and get brachos. What people do today, people, they run around to all the Gedolei Yisrael and they ask them, do me a favor and please be mispalel for me. Pray for me. Ask many people to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you'll be here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remove the gzerah from upon you for rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
So you're saying don't be an Arab?
No, that's a different interpretation. This mahalik, wait, there are two different mahalchim. There is derech pshat and there's derech agada. Derech pshat, we're dealing here in a situation where a person was a co-signer. There's a co-signer according to Rashi. Rashi simply means you owe someone money. You pledged to pay money. You stumbled with your words by not by not being true to your word, so go find the money. Do what you need to do in order to open up your hand to release the money that is owed to the other party. And if the problem was not because you pledged money, but it's because you insulted your friend, then you shall seek multiple friends to serve as your advocate to appease the one who was the victim of your insult. The agoda is the two parties here are not man and man, but it's Klal Yisrael Kneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have pledged pledged our allegiance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Sinai Arvas Moya, but all over Shmua, we have rebelled against him by worshipping idols, by doing Averos. We have to do tshuva, we have to humble ourselves for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have to ask Tzaddikim to pray on our behalf that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should forgive us, like Moshe Rabbeinu prayed on behalf of Klal Yisrael when they worshipped the eagle. Two different mahalchim in this pasuk, Pshat and Agada. Now this is one very beautiful medrash which focuses on the word Zos. Zos is a code. You have this all over Chazal, all over Tanakh. Is always a code for Torah. V'zois haTorah asher somay shalifnei b'nei Yisrael pi Hashem v'yad Moshe. And here it says the ultimate kapara. Rashi did not say any of this, but the ultimate kapara is Talmud Torah. They always say this, all the Bali Musar, that if a person feels he needs to tshuva, the ultimate tshuva is to engage in Talmud Torah. Person has sinned all the various perushim of Araftu L'Recha, Tokatel Zekapecha, Nekashu M'Ficha, Nekalta M'Ficha, Asei Zos. If you'll do the Zos, the Zos HaTorah Shasamosha, Efo B'ni, V'hi Notzel. That will be for you the ultimate salvation, to be Oisek in Talmud Torah. Okay, this is what it says in the Medrash. Elaborates a little bit more, but that's the gist of the Medrash. The Medrash is Shom. And Shom is Medrash Mishlei. The Medrash on Sefer Mishlei. Okay. Now let's go to the next. Now the passage elaborates. Al titein shin leinecha usnuma le'afapecha. When you... The two things that I told you to do in the previous pasuk of hisrapes urahavriyecha, do not sleep, do not give sleep to your eyes. Usnuma snuma. I do not know the difference between these two different expressions. Both of them mean sleep. One is a deeper sleep. One is a lesser sleep. In this past week's parasha, Parashas Bereishis, we always mention that Kadosh Baruch Hu vayapal Hashem lokim al adam a tardema. I think that's even deeper. There's Shena, Tenuma. Lo Yonum v'lo Yisham. But that's not Tardema. Tardema is even deeper. That's even deeper. We're going to have it again. We're going to have it again in the few psukim. It says, also there it says with Shenos and Tenuma. It never says the word Tardema.
How would you mention the difference between a nap?
A short nap and a deeper nap. In the secular world, if I'm not mistaken, there are five levels of sleep. They divide a person's sleeping cycle, the sleeping pattern, into five levels. The deepest is what they call rapid eye motion, R-A-M?
R-E-M.
Rapid eye motion. I think of computers. R-E-M, rapid eye motion, and I guess that's what we would call a tardema, if you could say such a thing. But Chazal only seemed to give three different levels, Shena, Tenuma, and Tardema. Adam Arishon was put to sleep at the time when Hashem made Chava. We always joke that it does not say anywhere in the Torah that Hashem woke him up.
He woke him up.
Vayapel Hashem Elokim Tardem al Adam Vayishon Vayikach Achas Mitzaloisav Vayiska Boso Tachtena, and then it Vayivieha El Adam, and Hashem brought her to Adam, but it doesn't say Adam ever woke up. And Vayom Ha'odam, Zoysapam, so he said everything that happened subsequent to that operation was all a dream. So we're all now living in the mind. Our existence is an extension of the dream of Adam Arishan. Tenuma is Oskala than Shena?
Look in the
Malbum. In the Malbum? Okay, it's less than, so it's going in the reverse. Okay, two different levels of sleep. Let's see over here. Do not be lazy concerning this matter. That opens up the theme into the next couple of psukim of the ant. Rashi, there is no Rashi. Let's go to the next pasuk. Before we go, pasuk hey, shinatzel kitzvi miyad. Do not be lazy. And save yourself like a tzi, a deer saves miyot from the hand of a person. Uchitzi, pour like a bird miyat from the hand of your kush, a trap, snare. Now it seems that deers are trapped by people, humans. And a tzipar is the common way to trap a bird is through some type of a trap. And they are very clever, these two creatures in particular. Being that Shlomo is emphasizing these two creatures, it appears that these two creatures are the hardest to trap. A tzvi and a tzipah.
That you just the fastest.
They're the fastest, so you could be, maybe that, that's why they're the hardest. Good morning, Mr. Glatter.
Good morning, everyone.
That these are the hardest to trap, and that's why these are given examples. Save yourself. Don't be trapped by, don't be trapped into having an enemy for the rest of your life. Now, what it seems to be saying is that, and this is so true. I know everyone knows this to be in their own personal life, is that if you don't, if there is a problem when it comes to a relationship between you and your friend or a relative, if you don't seal, if you don't repair the damage immediately, then it can turn very quickly, can turn into a permanent rift in your relationship with your friend. Now, when it comes to a house, if you have a leaky roof, if you're lazy, so the roof begins to leak, right? The roof begins to leak, a little drip, a little drip. All right, so let's say you don't fix the roof. All right, so the ceiling, but it takes a very long time until the ceiling falls down. And you can fix the ceiling whenever you want. You just come in one day with the contractor and you put up a new ceiling. But when you have a problem, when you have a little teeny drip that's coming through when you, in the muscle of a relationship with a friend or a relative, and you don't repair that damage, that drip, immediately, you'll never have an opportunity for the rest of your life to repair, just to call in a contractor, and we'll put up a new roof. It's either you fix the drip now, or it's over. There's no longer going to be a house. That's the nature of human relationships. It's much more sensitive than physical matter. And that's what the Pasuk here says. We're dealing over here with the problem of relationships. Well, this is not Koheles, end of Koheles, telling you about Ba'atzal Tam Yimacha Mekore. We have here Neikashta B'imrei Ficha, Lilkadata B'imrei Ficha, two different expressions of you've insulted your friend, or you've promised, and that's also very powerful. Many, many things in life, people have tainus where you promised me something. You promised you'll do this for me. And they were not true to their word. They pledged, and they didn't come through for you. You have a taina against them for the rest of their life, the rest of your life. And here the Pasuk says, if this has happened, I say, Zos Efo Albini, if you not sell, you better do this. And he goes on to say, don't be lazy. Because if you're lazy, you're finished. The opportunity is now to repair the damage. At the moment when the damage has occurred, it's going to be like a tzvi and an tzipar. If you let them get out of your hand, you let it get out of the trap, you'll never ever have an opportunity to repair the damage if you don't take care of it at this moment in time. We all know this to be true from our own personal experiences. If you don't know what I'm talking about, good for you. You're very fortunate. Okay, but it's a very powerful and scary lesson. Hinatzel Kitsimiyod, Kitsipam Yad Yokosh. Rashi says, Hinatzel Kitsimiyod, Maher, quickly. The Yishamet Misham, remove yourself from that situation. Katsvi Hanimlat, like a Tsvi Hanimlat Miyad Adam, like a Tsvi that runs away from the hand of a person. And the Pasuk follows Shluk the Mitsudos, Eskad the Mitsudos, Hinatzel Kitsi Arei, Linatzel Bimihirus, Kitsi Hanamahar Levrech Miyad Halach, from the hand of the person trying to trap it. Kishayim Samanus, when he finds an escape, and a Tsvi finds a place to escape, the Tsvi just disappears. Miyad Yokush, Miyad Meike Shapach, from the person that's laying the trap. Now there's a medrash. The medrash, this is a very interesting medrash. I don't know the deeper meaning, but something to look into, just tomorrow makom. The medrash focuses on Gehenim. It says that the Yod and the Yokush is Gehenim. These are Mishalim for what happens to the Neshama after a person dies. And here it's telling us advice that in this world, that in this world a person should not waste his time sleeping. Don't sleep away your whole life. Instead, the Medrash says you should do tshuva. I'll read you the exact words. Milasois teshuva. Sheatshuva masim toivim kisris. It's like a shield of Bnei HaParanos. It's Paranos. And then the Medrash goes on to say, in the same medrash, okay, that all the psukim is that it will save you midina shel gehenim. V'yoleha V'chol kach lama kidei lihinatzel midina shel gehenem v'yolecha mefarish shlomo bekabala hinatzel kitzvi miyad uchitzipar miyad yokush. So, and what is yokush? Kidei shlo tisyakesh b'gzeirosa shel gehenem. Seemingly, it's a mashal. Do not be trapped in Gehenim.
That's not how.
He takes
the same phrase here. Kadei Shalot Ta'asu.
No, I have a different girsa then. No. I have a different girsa. It's a different girsa then. Okay, there are multiple midrashim. This is a Medrash Mishlei. What are you reading from? Medrash Mishlei?
Yalkut.
Oh, no, that's a whole different thing. Okay, Rechanami. So it's a
Yalkut. It's the same phrase.
Okay, the Yalkut doesn't always take. The Yalkut had many. Okay, there are many Perushim. But the point, what's interesting is the Medrash is taking these two psukim, the Dal and Hay, and is telling us that in this world, we are compared, human beings are compared to deer and birds. And our goal is Gehenim is closing in upon us, because the nesionos of this world are so great, the Yetzirah in this world is so strong, we are always on the defense. In many people, there's a debate among the Bali Musa. Do you look at living in this world? Everything is positive. Just don't go there. Just don't go off the deep end. You're okay. Or do you look at this world? No. The forces of evil are trying to attack you. Wherever you go, there is evil, evil, evil all over the place, and you have to save yourself from evil. From what I've read and I've studied is that by the Goyim, the Christians, they take the latter approach, and Chazal, because of that, in the later years, have told us, don't look at the world like the Goyim. Don't be influenced by the Goyim. It's just the opposite. Meaning the Goyim, by the Christians, evil is everywhere. The world is saturated with the Satan, with sin, and Gehenim, and purgatory. Wherever you go, there is evil. You're swallowed up. And you have to redeem yourself. You have to do things in order to escape Gehenim in this world. That's not the way we've been brought up. We've been brought up is that there is nothing. Everything in this world is toif. Toif ma'oit. It's just don't look for trouble. If you don't look for trouble, you're okay. This pasuk, okay, I'm not chas v'shalom saying it, I don't want to say an apikorsis, but it's giving us a little bit of an approach to look at the world. Watch out. You're in this world, and there are forces of evil that are trying to close in upon you. In this world, you should view yourself like a deer or like a bird upon whom a human being is trying to trap, or nets are being spread to close in and trap you, take you down into Gehenim. But you have the koichos, the unusual koichos hanefesh of a tzvi, to swiftly escape, or of a bird, you have the tools to swiftly escape this trap of Gehenim.
To avoid
being trapped. But the point I'm making is that watch out. You can't just sit around and do nothing. No. If you sit and do nothing, they're going to get you.
It takes a certain amount of self-awareness to...
You can't just sit around and be complacent. Because if you're complacent, the net will fall upon you, whether you like it or not. You have to use your koichos to escape the inevitable, what is coming upon you. Okay, now he tells the
Pasuk in Breishis, Im teitiv
seis. Im loy seitiv.
L'pesach chatos roibes.
V'yelecha teshuk aso.
V'hu yim shumach.
Well, you know, you just said, L'pesach chatos roibes. I once leaned in a shul, and I said, L'pesach chatos roibes. I know, that was towards the beginning of the Aliyah. And I finished the whole Aliyah, guy comes over to me and says, you made a mistake. He said, L'pesach chatos. And it's in the pasuk La Pesach Chatos. So therefore, I ask you to lean over the whole Ali again. So I said to him, you have to ask the Rav. I'm just a worker.
Does it change the meaning?
So I don't know. Does it not? I have no idea. So he claimed it did. So you have to ask the Rabbi. So he goes over to the Rabbi and he's having a conversation. The Rabbi is making the Mishnah Berach, and I'm looking for the signal. And the rabbi is looking at me, And basically, what my interpretation is, just ignore this guy. Just go. Keep on going. So I keep on going, fine. And this person was very insulted. So then he comes over to me later on, and he says to me, he says to me, I'm a choyte umachti. That's what he said to me. So I said to him, you know, listen, I'm just a guy, I'm a worker with the rabbi. Whatever the rabbi tells me to do, I do. So he says to me, the oldest I never heard my whole life. So he says to me, no, it's ma'akev. I said, I just do whatever. He says, well, the rabbi doesn't know. The rabbi is an Am Haaretz. When I heard that, whew, I knew. I knew. Watch out.
Get off the boat.
Okay. So this year, Baruch Hashem had an opportunity to lane. And Parash Baruch Hashem made a lot of mistakes. But there was one mistake I didn't make. There was one mistake I didn't make.
Okay. Same guy did?
He wasn't there, no. No, he wasn't there.
Well, he would have been on you. Would have gone the other way.
All right, whatever. Okay, a diversion story. Now let's go to this very, very popular pasuk. This is a beautiful pasuk, and there's a lot to be said about this pasuk. Pasuk Vav is an example of how one should not be lazy. And Shlomo gives an example. Lech el nemala otzel. It's a very unusual way to write a pasuk. The word, the subject is otzel. You would say otzel. Lech el nemala. Go, you lazy man, go learn from the ant. That's not the way the pasuk is written, and it's curious because it's misleading. Lech el namala, kama, otzel. You lazy person, you have to read the words backwards. You lazy man should go to the namala. Seemingly, maybe what he means to say, maybe the reason why it's written backwards, al derech dursh, is because everyone can learn from this. Even the person who's not lazy has what to learn from the namala. Don't think if you would start with the word otzel, the average man would say, well, I'm not lazy. I got up today 4 o'clock in the morning, and I have 5 jobs, and I'm busy, and I'm doing all these things. So this pause does not apply to me. And subconsciously, a person will turn off; he will shut down, and will just cruise through the pasuk and go on to the next pasuk. In order that a person should not make that mistake, and the person should not subconsciously turn off to the message, it begins with the verb. Leich el namala, go to the ant. Everyone should go. And certainly, the one that certainly should go to the ant is the otzel. Re'ei dirachecha, look, study its ways. Va'chachom, and become wise. Asher, now, what is the nature of the ant? Pasuk Zion, we'll do the few pasukim together. Asher ein lo kotzin, shoiter u'moshel. 3 terms. I don't know the difference between the three. I'm sure there's something very deep here. But they do not have any form of hierarchy, of rulership. There's no kotzin as a leader. Shaiter is seemingly a person who a policeman who enforces. The one who enforced the law, the Moshel, is a ruler. I assume that the kotzin are the ones who make the laws, right? An officer, lowest level?
The lowest level.
He brings you in. The shaiter are the people who bring forth the punishment, execute the punishment. And the moshel is the ultimate authority, who can, whatever that means. So three, they have no hierarchy. It seems here that it doesn't just mean that there is no rulership. There's no even hierarchy of rule. There's nothing whatsoever. Ish hayosha be'einav yase. In fact, that's exactly what the Medrash says about the ants. Everyone does what they want to do. There's no such concept of rulership. Yet, now the ikar choser min ha-sefer. The main message of the pasuk is mysteriously absent from the words of the pasuk. The point that one wants to make is there is no theft. There is no robbery. There is honesty. Now, the problem, though, is that doesn't fit very well. I mean, there's something very deep going on that does not fit in the beginning of the pasuk. The pasuk is telling us over here about the concept of an otzel, of a lazy person. Of a lazy person, you should learn from the ants. And then it goes on to tell us that among the ants, there is no thievery. There is no theft. But that's not the message. The message is look how hard they work. So what it seems to be saying on a deeper level, we have to read the pasuk in one moment, is that there are no shortcuts. Ants have many opportunities to steal. They have opportunities in life to have a good, easy life just to take, to live off the hard work of someone else. And yet, they choose not to. They choose to earn their own keep. That is the essence of not being lazy. See, we don't look at being we don't look at the term of laziness in that fashion. We look at the term of being lazy. Well, if I have a Yerusha, if I have easy money, so then I don't have to work. Am I lazy? No, lazy means. Can we look at lazy? I don't have the exact words. But we, okay, or if it's something along those lines, but that's not the translation of laziness. Is even if you have an easy way out, you have a desire to earn your own keep. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world, Chazal tell us, is exactly for this reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give pleasure to the neshama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would create the neshama and directly deposit it in Gan Eden. It would not enjoy Gan Eden because it would feel embarrassed. It did not earn its keep. Michla dichseifufa, bread of embarrassment. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in this world to have nisyonos, to overcome the nisyonos, and to earn the reward that we will receive in the next world. So the pasuk goes on to say, what does the nemala do? We'll see all this in more detail in a moment. Tochin bakayitz lachma, it prepares in the summertime its bread. Ogro vakotzir machala, it stores. The word oiger means to store in the harvest season. Machala, the time of the harvest is when there is food available in the fields. It goes out and it collects the food and brings it in for the winter when there is nothing available for it to eat. Okay, now let's take a look at the Rashi and the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos first, and the Rashi, and then I'll tell you some Gemaras, some Midrashim, which really bring out this idea in very great detail. Pasek Vav in the Mitzudos, Atzel, Ato He'atzel, you lazy man, Lech El Hanamola. Mitzudos makes it very clear, you have to read the words backwards. Go to the ant, or Amin Haga, Ulamad Mimena Chachma, learn from the Namola Chachma. Asher, Ein, Kotzin lo Asher ain lo Kotzin. You can take this one. Asher ain lo Kotzin. It does not have any rule la hachricha al maaseha lahachin machalul about things lo mechaber. So here the Mitzudas adds in the key word. That's the key word which is missing from the pasuk. There is no leader to force it to be honest, to force it that it should prepare its own food and should not steal from its friend. And yet the pasuk says, Tochin im kolzeh. There's no one that's watching. There's no one that's watching. Me atzma bichochmasa, by itself with its own chochma. Tochin lachma bakayitz. It appears. It's spread in the summertime. Eist him so when it's to be found. Al pnei hasadeh. Umimena limod. From that you shall learn lahoch and akol baod lekel yodecha. A person should learn that while he's living in this world and he's healthy and he has the ability to do Torah, umitzvah samasim tovim, he should take advantage in order to save, to store up reward for the next world and to save himself from the dino shel gehenim. Rashi pasik vav. Lech el namola otzel v'chacham v'hischakem. Okay, v'chacham, I guess it's not an average word. V'chacham means it should become wise. Asher ein lo katzin she yoychiach oitza v'yiz rezena. There's no one to give it mussar and to warn it. V'yoytzim yoda and to take away in tigzol tov mechaverita. Rash adds in this yisot to punish it. And to pun if it steals, v'afal pichin, nevertheless. Tochim ha'kaitz lachma. Ogra bekotzer machala mezoin, it stores its food in the winter time, the harvest, the fall. Kol achas viachas, each one eina goizeles mechaverta. Not being a thief is the essence of not being lazy. Being lazy means to steal. That's what it means. It doesn't just mean that you sit back and you do nothing. If a person is lazy, by definition, he's a ganef. And if he's not lazy, it means he earns his own keep. Okay, now, let me quote a few pieces of Gemara and a Medrash. First is a very popular Gemara, Masech Tuchulin. Very big, very, very, there's a very powerful Yisoy that comes from this Gemara. Daf Chulin, Daf Nun, Zayin on the base. The Gemara there says, I'll read you the whole Gemara very quickly. It's a long Gemara. It's almost a whole Daf. Amro lav Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta. They said about Rabbi Shimon Chalafta, and here we have a very interesting statement. She'askan bedvarim hoya. He was a person who was busy with devarim. Now, what does that mean? Devarim. So there are two interpretations. So very rarely do Chazal tell us about a person's profession. Tell us what he does. He was an askan. Today the word askan, in flapash Jewish journal, they always show people. The askan in flapash. So the Gemara says that Rav Shimon Chalafta, they had a picture of him. He's an askan, no, not just I'm an askan, askan bidvorim. What does that mean? It means, either davar means matters, meaning he was a scientist. He had a PhD from MIT. He was a scientist. He liked to experiment. He was an askan. He saw a chazal, and he said, really? Is this really true? Let me do an experiment. That's one interpretation. The interpretation is, davar does not mean a matter, davar. It means dibur. It means words. He liked to talk. He was a big talker. And he engaged Chazal. Chazal, a Rav gave a drasha. When the drasha was over, there's always one balabas that comes over and just argues and debates the Rav every point he makes. He likes to talk. Chazal said something, and he engaged them. Is it really true what you're saying? I want to show you that it's maybe it's not true, maybe it is true. Let's do an experiment. And through the process of his dibur, his words, it was revealed chidushim, yesodos, a new depth of understanding in the words of Chazal. So those are the two different translations of the word askan bidvam. That itself is very interesting. Now, more is my askan bidvam. The Gemara itself asks, what does it mean? The Gemara means my, it doesn't mean what's the translation of the words. The Gemara means how. Show us an example of how he
So it means he's like a deep thinker?
That's one way of the second interpretation.
Yeah.
The first interpretation means he's a scientist. That's how he says it here in this sefer. I like how he elaborates in the divrei sefer.
For a minute there, it sounded like it was a negative.
It's the positive. Now here the Lord gives an example. He read this pasuk in Mishlei, where it said Leich el nemola otzel rei derecha drechecha lachachom.
Asherin lo katz. Interpretation. The first one is in the experimental scientist, the second one is a theoretical scientist.
A theoretical scientist. Okay, that's good, that's true. Okay, Asher, now it says in the pasuk that
observation, because he's observing.
Right, he's going to do an experiment.
Nature.
A fascinating experiment. He came upon this pasuk that says that among the society of ants, they don't have any hierarchy of leadership. Really? Let's do a test. Asher Elo Katzin, Shaiter Moshel, Tochim Achayit Slachma. Omar, Ezel Echazei, I will go check this out. I will experiment ivadaihu, if it's correct. The less laho malka. He was a wise guy, right? He's really trying to challenge. It's really true that they have no king. Ozal, so he went to Kufas Khamas, he went in the summertime. In the summertime, that's when you have the ant hills. All the ants, they come. Parse Leglime, so there was a large pile of so he knew deep in the ground, he somehow knew there was a large collection of ants. Colony of ants, and he covered on. And the reason why they were not coming to the surface was because that is the custom of ants, that when the sun is shining, when it's hot in the summer, they go underground. So he took a sheet, parsel glime akina dishum shimoni. He spread a garment upon the colony of ants, and to create artificial shade, darkness. Nefak osa chadmina. One of the ants came out of the hole, and he saw that it's dark. So he went back inside. He went back inside to tell all of his friends, guess what? The sun has set. It's safe to come out. We're not going to be scorched by the heat. Now before this ant returned underground to inform his friends that it's dark, it nach be simona. Rav Shimon ben Chalafta, he put a sign. I guess he injected it he tagged it. He tagged this, and like today they tag the dolphins and they tag the birds and all these things. He put a little GPS thing into this little ant to see where it's going. Okay. He put a symbol on this ant. Oh, the ant entered into the ground. Amalaho. And the ant told all of his friends, Nefaltula, guess what? their shade. So Nafku v'asu, all the ants came to the surface. And then what did Rabbi Shimon Chalaf to do? He right away took off the sheet, he took off the shvata, and the sun was shining down. So right away all the ants said to this little guy, "You liar, you tricked us. You liar. Da'alig limei nafal shimsha." He removed the garment. Omar. So then what happened? Nafla alei v'katlei, they immediately killed, they executed, capital punishment. They executed the ant that told them that the sun has come, the sun has set. You're a liar. You're a liar. Look, the sun is bright, the sun is shining down, we're in pain. They immediately, without any hesitation, killed this little creature. The GPS signal, no signal. Acquiring satellites. No signal. Gone. Okay, so Omar, so here the experiment was over. Omar, Rabbi Shimon Chalafta said, Shema Minona, if it was up to me, I would never have no clue. What's the experiment? What does this mean? This we need the Chachamim to show us. Shema Minona, Les Lumalka. This is a sign that indeed among the ant kingdom, there is no leadership. Why? The E is Loho. If there was a king, Harmino the Malka Lolipo. You just don't kill a creature. You have to first get permission. Since they killed the ant instantly without seeking reshus, permission from an authority, is an indication that there is no authority. Ish Hayosha Be'enav Yaseh. Everyone does whatever they want. He lied to us. I kill him. I'll take the law into my own hands. There's no leadership. Because if the E is loho, harmona de malko lo liboy, do they not require permission from the king to execute one of their own? Okay, that's the story. So he went out and he said, that's why lufichach nikra Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta askan bidvarim. Lufishahoya misasek loichiach bidvarim. Again, the word bidvarim means either with words or it means with matters, experiments. As Divrei Shlomo. Okay, that's end of the Gemara, part one. And then the Gemara goes on. This is over here on this Sefer, that's where he stops. But here in this Sefer, he goes on to bring out a very powerful Yisrael. I remember this, so we learned Daf Yomi. I remember some of the Farshim, they dwelled upon the next part of the Gemara. Why is this a good experiment? It's not a good experiment. Maybe among the group of people, among the group who came out to the surface, was the king. Maybe the king himself was the one. The Gemara. Maybe the king himself was the one who killed the messenger. Inami the in the kitu. Maybe they already had permission from before. There was a rule that anyone who is proven to be a liar can be killed. Maybe there was such a rule in the kingdom. Inami bein malka l'malka hava. Maybe he was between the king and the queen. Maybe this ant, who the two creatures that killed him, was the king and the queen themselves to kill this creature. So the Chassid says, hava. Let me see. The Gemara says shema yeshlam, or maybe. And then the Gemara is very bizarre with the Gemara. Maybe the situation was where the king died. And now it was elections. It was election season. So during election period, that's when we have a pasuk for this. That, like it's the Gemara's quotes in Shoftim. By Yom and Mohem, a Melech v'Yisrael ish hayosh be'enav yaseh. When there's no Shoftim and when there's no Melech in between a Shoftim and a Shoftim, or a Melech and a Melech, everyone does whatever they want. But the truth is, they do have some hierarchy. It was in the middle of the season. So here comes the Gemara, the clincher, and there is a very powerful Yisrael. El of the Gemara says Simoch. The answer is it's not a good experiment. Fascinating conclusion of the Gemara. You're right. The experiment, even though he was an askan bedvarim, he experimented. When everything is said and done, you always have to fall back on emunas chachamim. That's the bottom line. You'll always find a flaw in an argument, in an experiment. In the bottom line is emuna, tradition, emuna. That's if Shlomo HaMelech said, "Asher ein lo katzin shaytu u'moshel," we believe it. We believe it even though there is no way you can prove it. There was no greater askan bedvarim than Reb Shimon Chalavta, and he conducted what Chazal considered to be the perfect experiment. No room for any deviance or any variation, and yet even that, Chazal said, we can find the flaw in the experiment, and the only thing you can rely upon is the conclusion, whatever it is. And you see, it's in so true, people, they present, you can argue, debate. The bottom line is, you need to come on to emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and emunah in Chacham. People have these debates about religion and the existence of God and all of these things. When everything is said and done, it's either do you believe or do not believe. That's they had this thing, I remember many years ago with the Bible codes. The Bible codes is very controversial. So there are some very big mathematicians which are very frustrated with the Bible codes. But if I'm not mistaken, one of the major organizations, Esha Torah, years ago, this goes back probably way back. So they had seminars. So there was a five part. There were five parts to their seminars. This is what I remember. It could be I'm making a mistake, but I remember there were five parts to the seminars when they would introduce people that are not yet religious to Yadus. And one of the five parts was codes. A whole seminar devoted to codes.
The big seminar.
And many people like myself were blown away. But when I first went, I heard a professional seminar about the codes. It was like, wow, blown away. And many people were critical that this is not the way you introduce people that are not affiliated to Yadus to showing them these amazing things, mathematical, whatever, things in the Torah. And they claim that years later they did a study of people who became religious through Esha Torah, and they asked them the questionnaire, many questions. What exactly brought you to Yadus? Did the codes have any part? And almost 99% of the people basically said no. It was true, it was amazing, and we were very impressed. But that's not really what drew us to Yadus. What drew us to Yadus was this inner yearning, an inner emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the people that don't have the emunah, you can show them most amazing codes. When the day is over, it's not going to make a difference. Klali, so they left the Mitzrayim, they witnessed the 10 Makos, they witnessed Kriyas Yamsuf, and what happened 50 days later? 50 days later, they worshiped the eagle. So you can be shown the most amazing things. The bottom line is emunah, and that's really what the Gemara here says very clearly. The bottom line is simoch ohei manusa de Shlomo. You have to rely upon the faith of Shlomo, who told us there is no such thing as a kotzin, a sheiter, and a moshel among the ant world. Okay, now there's another amazing medrash. I'm not going to go through the details. This is the medrash. This medrash appears in Devarim, in the Sifrei, in Devarim Piska Shin Vav. I guess that's towards the very end, right? Shin Vav is pretty much towards the end. And it says, I think it's a parashat Hazinu, if I'm not mistaken. And the Medrash says as follows. I'll just read you from the beginning of the Medrash, and I'll just summarize what it says. Kishohayu Yisrael Zakoyim. When Klal Yisrael were tzadikim, and Bali Amun and Bali Zuchuyos, Heim Hayu Mi'idim Be'atzman. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed each individual to testify about his friend. HaKadosh Baruch would come to Klal Yisrael and say, what's doing? Are you tzaddikim? Are you beinonim? Are you rishoyim? Each member of Klal Yisrael would say, everyone here is a tzaddik. Each person would serve as a witness for their friends. And the Gemara, the Medrash quotes the pasuk, Shenemar, Vayomer Yehoshua el Ho'om. This is in the end of Sefer, the very end of Sefer Yehoshua. Eidim Atem Bochem, you yourselves, every single member of Klal Yisrael himself is a member concerning the other members of Klal Yisrael. And then the Gemara goes on. Here the Medrash goes on, it's fascinating. Kevan Shekilkilu. Then they began to backslide. They began to do Averos. Commotion, Emma, like it says, we have many psukim, Sivavuni, Bechachash, Ephraim, Vemirma, Beis Yisrael. Most the Aseres HaShvatim worshipped idols. There were only two Shvatim that were still tzaddikim. And who were they? Binyamin and Yehuda. Heid Bohem. Levi, no, not Sheva Levi. They were the Kohanim, maybe, but the main, the Binyamin and Yehuda, the Aseret HaShvatim, the main Shvatim. I don't know. We calculate them in that group, but the main Shvatim was Yehuda and Binyamin. Hey, Bohem, Sheva Yehuda Binyamin. Shnema Viat. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya Viatah now. Yoshve Yerushalayim, which is Binyamin. The Ish Yehuda. Shiftu no beini uvein karmi. I want you to judge between me and my nation. Ma la sos od lecharmi. What I should do concerning my vineyard? My vineyard is a mashal for Klal Yisrael. So here in this pasuk, the ones that are only fit to serve as witnesses to the conduct of Klal Yisrael are the two shvatim, Binyamin and Yehuda. The 10 shvatim have been defiled. They have lost their nemanus, their trustworthiness. And then the Gemara goes on, and then Yehuda and Binyamin sinned. And who was left to say Eidus? Only the prophets. So there were still prophets in the time of Yeshaya and later that with Tzadikim. They were able to serve as witnesses concerning Klal Yisrael. And then we learn, study Sefer, Yecheskel, and Yirmiyah, that the prophets were corrupt. Okay, the prophets became, they were all liars. So who became the witnesses for Klal Yisrael? The Shemayim. As it says in the Pasuk, Haidosi bochem hayom es hashamayim v'esaretz. And then Klal Yisrael began to worship the heavens. So the heavens were no longer fit to serve as witnesses. But the earth was still fit. And then they began to worship the earth. And then the earth became corrupt. And then we go further. Then we'll jump ahead. Then Hashem, okay, you know what? At least the drachim, the shemayim is no longer fit. It's corrupt because they worship the heavens. The earth is no corrupt because they built altars out of the earth that are for avodah zarah. At least the roads between the cities, that's fit. Koyamar Hashem, imdu al drachim uru'u. Stand on the derech and see, which the Medrash interprets as an indication that the derech is still fit to testify. And then the derech became corrupt. Al kol roish derech bonisa ramosecha. Upon every road you built for yourself an altar. So the derechim. So then what happened? Hashem says, okay, you know what? The nations, Klal Yisrael, at least at this point in time, even though they became corrupt, all the shvatim were corrupt, and the heaven is corrupt, the earth is corrupt, the roads are corrupt, but at least they did not intermarry among the nations of the world. At least they're still located in Eretz Yisrael, so the nations of the world still consider, we can still testify about Klal Yisrael that they're still better than them. L'chu shimu hagoyim udi eda. Let the nations hear about you and let them come testify. Those calls for Yitzhakim. But then we intermarried with the nations of the world. So the nations of the world, we have corrupted them. So they can no longer testify. Then it says at least the mountains were fit. The mountains became corrupt. Then the Gemara says the animals can testify about us. No more, the animals became corrupt. Then the birds, they can testify. We quote psukim, psukim. Then the Gemara goes on to the fish. The fish was still pure. And then guess what happened? Pasuk in Chavakuk says, Vata'ase Adam kidgei hayom. Man corrupted even the fish. Man got all...
It happened in the marble?
Marble. Even the fish, man corrupted. Even the fish are no longer fit to serve as witnesses for Klal Yisrael. And here's the clincher. And then the very least was one creature that's left that's going to save mankind. And who's that creature?
Yeah.
The ant. And the Medrash quotes this passage, a very long Medrash. Leich el namala, v'tasavavah, heyid bohem es hanamala. The namala will be the one that will save us. Shenemar, leich el namala atzel. Look at the namala tochin v'kayitz lachma. And the ant is the only one that remains, keeps its head on straight. And being that it's MS, it has maintained its integrity from the beginning of time to the end of time, it has Seichel HaYosher, and it can still say that Klal Yisrael, no matter how bad they are, they're still better than everyone else. There is still a degree of purity. You need something that's 100% pure to find within you the redeeming kernel of purity. It's over here. It's on the side. On the side, you need you need something that's pure in order to find that redeeming quality. So it's just an amazing medrash. We know that Eretz Yisrael, why was the Beis Hamikdash destroyed? Because of theft. Why was the marble? This week's parasha. Chomos, violence, gezel. Le'nechtam, Rashi says, le'nechtam gzar din ila al ha-gezel. What do we say at Ne'ilah? Hashem should mi'oshek yodeinu. The last tefillah we say on Ne'ilah and Yom Kippurim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save us from theft. Theft is always, you see this a pattern, all the Derech Chazal is always the worst of the worst. Ne'ilah, the Mabul, the Chom Beis HaMikdash, and She'amana, and here you have that cycle, that idea is repeated here as well as Klal Yisrael once was pure, we have corrupted ourselves, and in the process we've corrupted the entire world, and by doing so we have removed from ourselves the ability to rejuvenate, and in order to rejuvenate you need to have a kernel of something that's healthy. In order, that healthy little spark is where regrowth can start from. And what's the very last thing that's left on this world from which we'll be able to regenerate, to rejuvenate, to trigger a rebirth? It's the Nemola. It's the ant. Because the ant is the only creature that still is honest. Even though there's no katzin, there is no shaiter, there's no moshel, it's honest, does not steal from its friend, even though no one is watching. And now here we go. You know the story with the Chofetz Chaim? How does the story go? I don't remember. Yeah, you tell me the story. There were two people eating apples. There was a group of children. How'd it go? Maybe someone. And someone stole. Someone. Wait, how does it go?
It was a little kid, and one of the kids who went to steal an apple, and so the cook. Is that one?
Yes, there's a note. There's a note in the apples. Hashem is watching, right? You can only take one apple, or you're not allowed to take the apples, and don't. Hashem is watching. So one of the children stole, and he said, Hashem is watching the other apples. Something along those lines. All right, but that is all right. We'll stop here.